This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 7 to 9 a.m. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.
Voice of Change time with myself, Lauren Jacobs, on Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. I hope that you've had a great day today. I know that a lot of people are not working, you're on holiday, so I hope that you are just having a good time, of rest, reflection, and maybe of God just pouring fresh hope and inspiration into your hearts as it's New Year's Eve tonight. And yes, I know that things look a little bit different. A lot of people are saying that they cannot be with their families at this time, you know, but we know that, you know, God is with us and that he is good. And tonight on the show, I really want to share some inspiration with you and encouragement with you. You know, I'm going to be sharing the story with you of someone who is just a person that is filled with so much hope, determination, and motivation to be exactly who God has called him to be despite so many challenges that they've had and continue to have in their life. And I'm going to be sharing with you the amazing voice of ultra athlete Alvain Ace. Now, he is an ultra athlete and has competed in different Ironman events, has now recently done the Robben Island crossing, which we're going to be getting into tonight because it's so spectacular and so important. There's a documentary being made about it. And also, why is there such this hype on this crossing and on all these things that this athlete has done? Well, that's because Alvain is actually a paraplegic and is in a wheelchair for the last 6 years. And he's going to be sharing his story with us tonight. You know, he wasn't always in a wheelchair, and he was just such an active person, and he's going to be sharing this story so that we can draw in from the hope and inspiration that he has to offer us. But also perhaps tonight we can just look at ourselves and say, you know what, God, we want to be exactly where you want us to be. We want to receive, you know, everything that you have for us. We want to receive your voice of truth. We want to receive the promised land that you have for us and all the promises that you have for us. And tonight, you know what, really from my heart, I just want to say to you that there's a scripture that's laid on my heart when I started Voice of Change this evening. And it's that scripture that Paul says to Timothy, and he says to him, you know, wage a war, go to war with the prophecies spoken about you, Timothy. Go to war, wage war against the enemy with the prophecies, with the words that have been spoken over your life, with the things that God has declared about you. And you know what? I want to say this to you. Maybe it's just for one of you listening. Maybe God just wants to say to one listener tonight that you need to go to war with the prophecies that God has spoken of your life. You need to wage the war against the enemy. You know, wage against that war of depression, of fear, of frustration, of despair, of, you know, this voice that lies to you and tells you you aren't good enough, or you're going to amount to nothing, or you're going to be a failure, or the voice of self-doubt, the voice of confusion and chaos in your life. Go to war, because that is really the voice of the enemy that tries to stop us from fulfilling the divine mandate that we have been given. And you know what? You have been given things that only you can fulfill. Just as tonight we're going to hear with Alvain, you know, there's certain things that only we can fulfill because we are so uniquely designed and created that only we can do what we can do. Only you can do what you can do. So wage war, pick up the prophecies. Maybe 10 years ago, words were spoken over your life. You know, to share something personal, I know that my husband, way before we met, he was a drug addict many, many years ago. And you know what? He obviously came out of that and was delivered from that. And just recently, my father-in-law shared with us a word that God had given their family, you know, for my husband's life, way before he even started drugs, when he was a young teenager. And we were all crying together to just see that everything that God said, even though there were years where it looked bad and everything got bad, even though that was the case, God's word will be fulfilled. And I want to encourage you with that this evening. So as we get into Voice of Change, be with me tonight. Be with myself and Alvain. We're going to be inspired. And don't forget, go to war. Do the warfare with everything that God has spoken about you. Enjoy this. And when we get back, Alvain's with us to share his story.
Alvain Ace, adventurer, ultra athlete, car accident survivor, turned Ironman, and also the first paraplegic to cross Robben Island. How are you doing today, Alvain? It's so good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm doing really well, thanks.
I know that you've been super, super busy, of course, now with everything happening in your life this month during December. So it's so exciting to have you with us, you know, today in the on the show, and it's going to be such a great conversation. So I know that maybe a lot of people are listening and they go, oh, wow, okay, Alvin sounds like an amazing individual, you know, just a person that I want to know. So tell us a little bit about, you know, yourself, a little bit about your beginnings before Ironman, before doing the Robben Island Crossing, which we're really going to get into on the show as well. Tell us a little bit about where your journey began, really.
Yeah, so, you know, I can't tell my story without saying that I love sport and I'm really into, like, adventurous stuff. And I've been that way ever since I grew up in the Eastern Cape, in St. Francis, you know, swimming in rock pools, jumping off cliffs, riding bikes, and obviously loving sport and being into sport my whole life. And my life just took a very sudden and abrupt turn when I was 24 years old. I was just on my way to someone I was seeing at the time and took my eyes off the road, had a car accident. And the next moment I just wake up next to the side of the road and I'm paralyzed and I can't get up. So that reality took, you know, a good few months to set in. Like, this actually happened. There is no criteria to sustain a disability or acquire a disability. And I just had to, you know, make peace with that decision. And 6 years down the line, 13th of December, it was 6 years. I've done 2 half Ironmans, swam Robben Island Crossing, and, you know, do all these amazing ultra event stuff. And that's just what excites me. So I don't know, something ticked in me that day that life is so fragile that we must make the best of what we have. Even though I have probably less physically than most people, just, you know, live full out and make the best of what you still have left, no matter how little or how much it is.
I think that that's so important what you're actually just saying. You know, life can change so quickly, and I think probably for a lot of people, life did change this year.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that maybe through loss or through something that they have experienced themselves, but throughout the years, not just with COVID realities, throughout the years we experience these realities. Were there tough days, though? Of course, obviously in the beginning, you know, like you said, having to take months to readjust to now living in a wheelchair, this is your reality, and being someone super sporty, super active, there must have been quite a shift, wasn't it? You know, was it quite tough to make that shift and to also think, okay, can I still continue to live an active lifestyle even though this is my reality?
Yeah, look, that shift is incredibly hard to make. And I mean, especially for someone that was so into the outdoors and sport and stuff. So that shift was, you know, a lot of people ask me, was there one specific point that you made that decision and a shift? Yes and no. So yes, there was a decision, but I still had to make that decision every single day. Some days it's easier than others, but it's a massive shift, you know, especially because it influences every single thing that you do, life in a wheelchair, every single thing. You don't drive the same, you don't cook the same anymore, you don't go to bed the same, you know, so it just impacts your whole life. And I have this, you know, this memory that the first year or 2 years even, I constantly thought about it. It's like in your face the whole time, this whole wheelchair thing, and you can't even function in a normal life anymore because you just have this accident the whole time on your mind, and you keep on telling yourself, this isn't fair. How could this happen? So for the first 2 years, it's extremely tough. Like, it's really tough. But mostly because I think not many people can put themselves in your shoes.
Yeah.
They can be there for you. They can support you. They can help you with stuff. But they can't trade places with you even for a second. They can't. You can't get out of the wheelchair and they can get in the wheelchair and you can just have a break from it. You just can't, because this is your life now. And it forces you to really adapt your mindset and I would say grow up really quickly and just take control and responsibility of your life and make the most of it, because no one else can make it better for you. Only you can do that.
Wow. I also wonder, you know, during that time, did you meet other people, did you, you know, that were in wheelchairs that actually just said to you, you know, oh, then it's over. You know, this is life and we're stuck in this wheelchair. And some people obviously struggle with that as well. They don't, like you said, have that mindset shift. is that kind of tough when you meet people that are kind of so broken, maybe inside as well, because this is their new reality and it's very hard to deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. I met someone when I was newly injured. I actually visited them and just trying to see how did they adapt their house and stuff. And we like had a talk and stuff. And their words were like, it doesn't get any better from here. I was quite shocked to hear that. I was like,
"Yeah,
I don't understand. How can you say that? Like, you're still alive. Surely you can still do things. Life isn't over. It's not over. It's changed a lot. It's flipped upside down, but it's not over." And that really shook me to my core. I couldn't hear, you know, I couldn't understand what I was hearing. I couldn't believe it. And I made a conscious decision around that time to really make the best of it, to tell myself that, you know what, it is going to get better. Mm. I am going to get better at, you know, living this life in a wheelchair. And I was right, because that was my belief. That was my faith, that it is going to get better. And I promise you, just by changing your mind and your outlook and your perspective about these things, it really does get better. So it really starts in your mind. And that is the rudder of your life, is how you're going to talk about your situation and how you're going to think about your situation.
I really love that, because it's something that we can all apply and all learn from. You're basically giving us a lesson today, a challenge as well, and also something that we can really hold on to say that it is about our mindset for all of us, you know, and also I suppose how you see things in life that maybe don't go your way, or things that people often say, oh, well, I failed at something, you know, or I made a mistake. And sometimes people live in that moment. They live in that reality for something that didn't happen, or disappointments of life, and they get, you know, bound in by that. But it's this mindset shift, isn't it? And it's really, like you said, this rudder of our lives. So this is a lesson that we can take with us, that you're sharing with us today. And it's so powerful and so important. Even as we go into 2021, we know that for this year, 2020 has been tough for so many people. There's been so many losses as well, but we really know that we can shift our mindset and to change up a bit. And this is really incredible. So I would love to know from you, really, I know that you've done, like you said, 2 half Ironmans, and also what we're going to talk about, the Robben Island Crossing. When was the moment when, now you're in a wheelchair, when was this moment when you decided, okay, this is what I was going to do, and you began training? Was it a moment where you were like, okay, this is something that, you know, God has positioned in my heart, something that I'm positioned to do? Or was it just something, how did this come about? Because that's quite interesting for me.
So I remember there was a very, very pivotal moment. I was training for my first half Ironman, the Durban Ironman in 2019. And my mindset was, because the training is quite hard and the process to learn to swim, a hand cycle, and getting my mind around this, once again, that, look, I can do this. That was quite tough, that just initial breakthrough. And I went into the half Ironman and I told myself, Olven, you don't have to commit to the sport if you don't like it. Just do a half Ironman, see how it is, see if you enjoy it, and then make the decision after that. There was a moment when I finished that race, something came over me and I just knew this is what I'm called to do and this is what I want to do. And I just soaked up that moment and then I knew, okay, this is happening. I'm going to do this. And that's when I started, you know, training for my next one, thinking about these extreme stuff. And it's around about that time that I also kind of resigned my job, that I made the decision, I want to go full time into this. I love inspiring people. I love motivating people. I love sport. And this is what I want to do. And it, what really made the decision easy, in a sense, was I know how fragile life is. And you must do what you are called to do and what you want to do and what you love to do and what you chase your dreams, because you can wake up one day and you can be paralyzed, because that is literally how quick it happens.
And was training quite difficult, though? You know, obviously, you were quite sporty, obviously, before, but now training obviously looked really different. Obviously, I've been following your journey for quite some time, so I see all these awesome things that you post, and it's really, really cool. And it looks super easy because you've been doing it for quite a while. But even for me, I know, you know, I wouldn't be able to do the half of that stuff. But what was there this huge reality of, like, okay, I've got to learn to train differently? Did people help you? Were people assisting? Did you get someone in?
Yeah, look, life in a wheelchair or with any disability, I think the first thing is you have to make peace with you will need help and assistance at some point. And everything takes a little bit longer. So training, you don't have to, it's not just the training you take into account, the workload. It's obviously the getting ready and, you know, when you finish training, everything takes a little bit.
You're with me, Lauren Jacobs, here on Voice of Change on Radio K Pulpit, and I hope that you are having a fantastic New Year's Eve so far. I hope that, you know, God is just richly blessing you and your family over this time period. And tonight on the show, I really want to bring you some serious hope and inspiration as we go out into 2021. We know that 2020 has been quite a tough year, and we know, though, that there have been such beautiful things that have come from this year, and many, many people sharing their awesome stories and testimonies of how God has given them hope and breakthrough and cause them just to, you know, birth new things and do some incredible things. And today, I'm with one of those people, Alvain Ace, who's been sharing with us all about, you know what, being an ultra athlete in a wheelchair. And it's so absolutely incredible. Now, Alvain, this month of December, you did something that was what I would consider history in the making, because really you did the Robben Island crossing, swimming from Robben Island over to Blouberg and becoming the first paraplegic to ever do that. Now, I need to ask you, all about, obviously, we're going to get into the day, and obviously you guys have been working on some things to share with people and the public, but I want to ask you, how did you come up with this, and what was it like working towards doing this, which was so significant?
Yeah, so the whole idea of doing it, that's just crazy. I don't know. God just dropped it in my heart when I heard about it. I thought it's something so outrageous to do. It's so crazy. And I'm not a swimmer. I'm saying this humbly, that I'm really not someone with a great swimming background or anything. I didn't swim before my accident. So it's really this giant in front of me. And I was so scared of it. But that's the interesting thing. It scared me so much. And that's the reason why I wanted to do it, because I needed to overcome this massive giant. And it's really motivating to know that not many people have done it with disabilities. Yeah. So it's just something that I had to do. And what an incredible experience it was. I mean, it's something I'll never forget in my entire life.
Tell us about the day, because now you're making us excited, thinking, okay, this is something you're never ever going to forget. And we know that there have been so many people, able-bodied people, that have done the swim, but this is incredible. Yeah. So tell us about the day. You know, what was it like? What happened?
Yeah, so on the 11th of December, just a few weeks back, we embarked on this journey, and, you know, swimming from Robben Island to Blouberg. And just to give you some insight into that day, it took me 3 hours, 3 minutes. It's just under 8 kilometers of swimming. And, you know, you're so exposed to the elements, and that's what makes it really difficult. Open water swimming, especially over the open ocean, and you're not, you know, bound to the coast. You are so exposed to the elements. You know, when we started out, the weather was perfect. It was, you know, the swell wasn't there. There wasn't chop, there wasn't much of a current. But as soon as we exited Robben Island about 1K into the ocean, the swell really picked up, the chop really picked up, and there was a hectic current. And it's interesting. It's not like a cycle race or something where you can just take a break. You're not allowed to touch the boat, and you're in the middle of the ocean. You're the only one in the water, and you don't know what is underneath you. You just see, you know, this dark abyss water. You don't know what's going on underneath you. But all you need to do is, you know, swim from point A to point B. It sounds so simple. But that swim is a massive mental battle. You know, it's just a mental giant, you know, that you must just keep on going. And I remember we took breaks every 30 minutes, feeding breaks, just having something quick to drink, which is a nice warm tea with lots of honey, to fight that salt water in your mouth. And I remember I was just like, I couldn't wait for the tea breaks, I can call them, every 30 minutes. I was looking forward to that. And I was just like counting down the minutes until the next tea break. And I took the challenge and I just broke it into 30-minute segments, not trying to think of what's already passed and not trying to think of how many 30 minute segments I have left, and just taking the one I'm busy with and just swimming till that break so I can have something to eat, have two words with my coach, and then embark on the next 30 minutes. And it really makes the goal a lot more manageable if you break things down into bite-sized chunks. And I remember coming to the end around 7Ks, then you can start seeing the waves and the people on the beach waiting, cheering you on, and the buildings. Mm-hmm. And you start telling yourself in your mind, I'm very close. I'm extremely close. I'm so close to the end. But that last kilometer it felt the longest of all. The current was the strongest. Mm-hmm. And also when there's a big swell, you can't really see how far it is.
Yeah.
Because you're flat with the ocean. When you're on a boat, you can always see over the swell. But that was extremely difficult and really challenging because I kept on telling myself, no, man, it's like 5 minutes, then I'm there.
Yeah.
And that 5 minutes turned into 30 minutes because of the current was so bad. So I'll be honest with you, the ending was the hardest, and that was something completely unexpected. Mm-hmm. I thought the ending was going to be the easiest because then your spirits are high. You know the end is near. You know you're almost there. You've made it. You almost start celebrating in your head.
Yeah.
But to me, the ending was the hardest, and I really had to fight to get to the end.
Wow. I'm thinking as well, I saw pictures obviously of your journey and obviously I was following along. It was absolutely incredible. And of course, like you said, just breaking it down into those 30-minute segments was pretty smart. And it's kind of like how it is in life, how we always say, if you have a goal, break it down into those manageable steps. You know, don't envision that whole big thing, otherwise it feels so overwhelming. But did you have time to reflect? Have you had time to reflect now on exactly what you did? Because I think in the moment, we are in the moment, you know, and we are doing something and our goal is to achieve that thing once we have. Have you had time to reflect on what just happened with, you know, this incredible swim that you did?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. Like, we forget to just embrace kind of what happened. And after the swim, you get rushed into the lifeguard little house. Because your body can get an after drop from swimming in cold water. So you have to get your wetsuit off. You have to get some hot stuff, you know, clothes and stuff around you. So they rush you into this room and they put me on the floor. And I was probably sitting there for 10, 15 minutes. I had a bit of confusion because I was swimming the whole time. And when you come upright, you just feel a bit confused. And I was just sitting there and I was just like taking it all in. And at one stage, I just asked one of my very good friends, he's a videographer, Nealis. I told him, I'm like, is this like really happening? Are we finished? Yeah. Like, did this really just happen? Because the accumulation and the buildup over months of planning and training, and the next moment, you're sitting on the floor and you're done. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, did we just do this? Like, is it finished? And I almost couldn't believe it. It felt so surreal. It felt like you're in reality, but you're also in a dream.
Yeah.
And I just sat there for 15 minutes probably and just like taking it in. I almost didn't speak. I was just like, well, I'm just in awe of what happened. And it wasn't an easy swim and I really had to fight for it. So it just made it so much, you know, more worth it. I'm really happy it wasn't an easy swim. I like fighting for something and achieving it then.
Yeah. Makes it so much more worthwhile, doesn't it? It's like, and you're challenging yourself. So that's obviously really such a big thing. And I'd love to know from you, probably people sitting listening would feel like, wow, this is incredible. And I love what I'm hearing. And would probably like to know as well, what role has faith played in your life? Because I know that you are a person that is always about hope, and always your story is about hope, and that's what you give to other people as well, and always want to encourage people with hope. What role has faith and God had in this journey that you've been on the last 6 years?
Wow, I mean, it's just been an incredible journey. Like, I don't even know where to begin, but what really stands out to me, this crossing that I went through, just to put it a bit into perspective, the past 6 years has been like, it kind of feels like you've been wandering in the wilderness for the past 6 years. And leading up to this event, God really shared with me the story of how they crossed the Jordan River, Joshua, into the Promised Land. And he also shared with me, this is what this is going to be, that this crossing and this documentary that we're making, which we will talk about, is really going to propel me into the Promised Land that he has for me. And I can see it. I really see it, everything unfolding. And that's why it was such an emotional thing for me, because the past 6 years hasn't been easy. It's not really, you know, walking by faith is, it sounds really nice. It's a cool quote. It's a cool scripture. But it's not easy. It's really not easy to follow a calling and walk into what God has for you. But deep down in my heart, I know this is what I've been called to do. And this is only the beginning. So that's why I sat there for 10, 15 minutes and just taking it all in and just kind of realizing, you know, I made it. I listened to the voice and I followed it and I made it into my Promised Land. So it was a massive, you know, faith experience, you know, spiritual experience beyond the physical.
So Alvin, I'd love to know more about the documentary that you spoke about, but also, you know, your plans for 2021. What can we expect to see from you and the things that God has laid in your heart?
So the documentary is basically, you know, what we spoke about, growing up, the accident, sharing the story of hope that God is actually the author of it all, to be honest. It's not me. I'm just a willing guy in the wheelchair doing what he says I must do. And that's what the documentary is about, sharing this whole journey that we tried to summarize in a few minutes here. And the pinnacle of it is this Robben Island crossing. And, you know, 2021, what I really feel on my heart that the Lord is dropping for me is I am called to do these kind of things like Ironman, the crossing, and these extreme events, but also very importantly to share it with the world. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big need for, you know, sharing hope with the world. And if I can do my part by sharing my life and what I'm doing and what God is doing in my life, it's a powerful testimony. Mm-hmm. And 2021, I'm definitely looking at doing Ironman, possibly a few of them. And I kind of like the whole long distance swimming. That is something that I think the bug really bit me there. There's something very unique about swimming in the ocean, those long distances. So that's something I can definitely look forward to in 2021.
That's really cool, because like earlier on you said, you know, swimming was not really your thing. Not the greatest swimmer, not the bug is bitten. So we never know what we will expect to see. Alvin, I want to say thank you so much for spending this time with me today and for encouraging our listeners, for sharing your story, your journey with us. But in closing, I'd love to ask you if there is anything that is on your heart, maybe a message to share with our listeners as we go out into 2021. You know, a lot of people obviously thinking, what is this year going to hold for me? What is God going to do? Is there anything on your heart that you really want to leave us with today, just to share with us as a message?
Well, something that is really on my heart, that I can just see what is happening in the people today, that God is really busy with something new, that they took a shaking place, people being repositioned from jobs, from locations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a shaking. I really experienced a shaking, not just in my life, but people around me and, you know, people in the world. 2020. It was a massive shaking where it's kind of like the dead leaves fell off. And there's something new blossoming, and you must just really embrace it, because I really believe 2021 is going to be a year or a new season or an era of hearing God's voice, and we just listen very carefully, but more importantly also a blossoming of what we are really, you know, called to be and who God says we are. So I really see a new season, a new fruitful season full of happiness and provision. We must just let go of all these dead leaves and let them fall off, let them go, because it's all part of God's plan at the moment.
I'm going to say absolutely amen to that. May we receive that and may it so be that way for us in our lives. Alvin, where can people, you know, follow you? I know that you're very active on social media and people that want to now consistently follow your journey. Can you give us your social media handles so people can follow on?
Yeah, so first, we share a lot of content on YouTube, all these events that I do, ministering opportunities, you know, whatever it may be. a very active YouTube channel. You can just search for Alwyn Ace. And then also on Instagram and Facebook is also just Alwyn Ace. And you can find everything that we do there gets posted and shared there. So you can stay up to date with next events and everything if you could just go check out those socials.
And you know what? I know that you do a lot of motivational speaking and sharing your story. So people can get in touch with you to have you come and visit even their congregations or their groups or their schools even to share your story. And so thank you again, Alwyn, for everything that you've shared with us today. But not only that, for you know, your heart for, like you said, your willingness to do exactly what God is calling you to do and to continue on such a powerful legacy that you're actually just building and that God is building through you and that you're leaving behind. So thank you so much for who you are. Thank you so much. And we just really want to pray that you would be super, super blessed in everything that you do. Cannot wait to see and hear what you're going to achieve in the next couple of years. And so may God just richly bless you and take care of you and your family into the new year.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And same to you. God bless.
It's been so great to be so touched and moved and inspired. I'm trying to think of all the words that I would like to say tonight, but I really can't think of them. They kind of elude me. You know, it's been so great to share this time and to just hear Alwyn's story, but also not only just to hear the story, because for me as a writer and as a storyteller, it's so important to understand people's stories. I think that as people, as individuals, and as society as a whole, often we look at the high points and the achievements of people that we know or that we look up to, or maybe that we even have on our social media. You know, it's this thing that we do where we look at the high points of people's lives, their achievements, their awards, you know, their challenges that they've reached and overcome. But we don't really see sometimes the backstory of what they've had to do to get to where they are, or what they've had to put forward to really reach the challenge that they have reached. And so tonight it's been so great to hear Alwyn's story and to hear everything that he's overcome and been through. And I want to say today, you know, we are people that overcome, and we can overcome with might and with triumph. You know, God says in his word that we overcome. And we can overcome, and it's not through power, not through might, but by his spirit in everything that we do. May we be led by his spirit. And I want to just say from my side, I hope that you have a wonderful, not just New Year's Eve, not just this one day or this one moment, next few hours, but may you be so blessed as this new year dawns on us all. May we go into it, you know what, not with sorrow or anything else in our hearts, but just being led by the Spirit of God. I pray that you will be in the place to receive from him, and that you will truly go out with joy, be led forth with peace, and that this year will be a great one for you and your family. Thanks for joining me on Voice of Change. Until next week, take care.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit on 729 AM. Visit us on www.kpulpit.co.za.